Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Welcome to Guts Church. Aren't you glad you're here? Man, I want to welcome all you guys here in Tulsa. I want to welcome everybody watching online right now. How about people watching online? God, we love you and we praise you and we thank you for who you are. God, we're excited about the life you've given us. We're excited about this church. We're excited about tonight. And God, I thank you most of all. We thank you tonight, God, for the great life that you've given us. God, we choose to take control of our lives by your words, God. God, we have the opportunity to choose life and choose blessing. And God, I thank you that death and the curse are eliminated from our lives. And we're appreciative of that, God. God, thank you for every person in this place, everybody watching online right now. That God, that your joy comes into us and it's made full in us, God, and becomes our strength. And God, we know that in this world we have tribulation. But God, we choose to be of good cheer, God, that we're cheerful people. God, because you've overcome the world. God, thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're trusting you, God. We mean it. We're trusting everything about you with everything about us in Jesus' name. And everybody said? Amen. Hey, give somebody a high five. Let's get started. You guys want to? It's great to see you. Hey, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 13. It's a very, very familiar passage here in this chapter that really honestly defines love. But what Paul wrote, he said, look, and now abide, or now, listen, it doesn't say that we abide. It says, and now it's got to live with the reference being in us, faith, hope, and love. And he said, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Now listen, faith, hope, and love. And I believe there's an order to this. I believe that faith, the Greek word pistis, which is just our trust, we put all of our trust in it, when faith comes, and it comes, now listen, by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith comes, now listen, then our hope rises. See, there's faith, here's the order to it. There's faith, there's hope, and then there's love. See, love never fails. You want to live that never failing life, man, it starts with you hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then it goes to hope. And when that hope comes up, and the hope is delivered in our lives, the idea now is, oh, wait a second. Hold it. The fog just separated. The clouds just parted. Man, my life just became rich. See, because that hope elevates. And then there's love. In 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, let's flip over there for a minute. And the second verse, we give thanks to God always for y'all. I'll tell you what, this is, honestly, Sandy's heart. She's in every service, hears every message. Her heart is, how is this hitting our guests? How are people receiving this? Man, what's being delivered? Why do people come? What do they need? What can we help people with? And here's Paul writing. He says, look, we give thanks to God for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Now listen, the next verse, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel didn't come to you in word only, now listen, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. See, let's just linger here for a minute. Remember that order that Paul used in writing it to the church in Corinth. He says, listen, like, and I'm remembering in you, now listen, your work of faith. Now think about the terminology here. Your work of faith. And then he says, your labor of love. See, this faith, it's not passive. It's not speculative. It's not just lip service. Man, this faith is something that we absolutely can, it's what our life stands upon, is this trust. Like my life is situated, if I'm in a place of faith, everybody say place of faith. Place of Okay, say place of faith. If I'm in a place of faith, listen, in my life, everything can be shaken. Everything can be tipping. But let me tell you, I won't be. And this, no matter what kind of wind is blowing, no matter what kind of pervasive attitude there might be, no matter what it is that's going on, whatever situation or circumstance of our life, no matter what kind of report, no matter what kind of diagnosis. Are you guys making this personal tonight? See, this is a work of faith. Man, it requires us, listen, there's a deliberacy to it that we have to look at it and think, wait, I'm very deliberate about this. I'm going to take the initiative in faith. See, and I'll tell you, that's a big key. And I'm kind of wading into this a little bit deeper, if you guys could go with me just for a second. But we've got to be deliberate about this. We've got to take the initiative of faith, where we initiate the stand of faith in our life. That you know you're going to get a report. You know you're going to have a diagnosis. You know that, here's what David said, it rains on the just and the unjust alike. You might be saying, well, wait a second, I've given my life to God. Why is this stuff still happening to me? Well, listen, what happens to us just gives us an opportunity to walk in God's promise. See, God's promise, what it does is it goes against the grain of what the world offers or produces in our lives. See, the world, what's the world gonna do, man? It's gonna be pain, it's gonna be sorrow, it's gonna be depression, it's gonna be insecurity, it's gonna be inhibition, it's gonna be bad news. Man, what do you do? Let me tell you, a great predictor that I am. Bad news is on its way to its life, but I got good news for you. God's delivered you from whatever that bad news is bringing. Okay, let me say it again. Okay, don't be shocked with bad news. Because here's what happens. Most of the bad news that comes into our lives goes right by and doesn't ever clip us, doesn't ever hit us. But it's bad news. What do we do? Hey, brace yourself for bad news. No, here's how we brace ourselves. The Bible says putting on the whole armor of God. Here in a few verses, it's going to talk about the helmet and the breastplate and what that matters. Because you're going to take it, why? You're going to take it head on. See, notice that the armor of God has nothing for our backside. Man, we got to take life head on. We're not going to flinch. We're not going to cower. We're not even going to blink. Man, we're not a people that flinch because there's bad news on the way. That bad news, let me tell you, is going to go right by us. The Bible even says we'll walk through the fire and not be singed. You may think, man, everything in my life is burning. I'll tell you what, you have control because you have a tongue in your mouth and you've got the word hidden in your heart. And if you speak that word, guess what? You have whatever you say. See, so remembering, listen, your work of faith, your labor of love, it's not passive. And I'll tell you, I think that's a huge, let's not call it a sin, but it's a huge area of your life you need corrected if you're passive at all spiritually in your life. Well, you know, it's just a seed. I'm in a rough season right now. I mean, why would we concede even an hour of our lives, much less a day, a week, or a season? Well, I'm in a difficult season. Yeah, I'll tell you, Pastor Sandy and I have been in a 26-year difficult season pastoring this church. Why? Because there's constant babies being born into this family. You know, our daughter Brooklyn just had her second baby, her little girl, Carolina Lee. And you know what? Man, she's at home. She just gained a pound in the first week of her life and healthy as could be. But let me just tell you, man, having that new baby in the house, because she's got another toddler, Teal, she's running around. Man, she wants to be a part of everything. She wants to pick up that baby. She picks that baby up by the neck and carries it around the house like this. No, she doesn't, but she's capable. No, you look at Taylor and Cassie's house. Man, they've got Charleston. Charleston's just the perfect little girl. And then you know what? And then Tripp comes along. And Tripp, let me just tell you, Tripp, the whole first year of his life, man, I had to remind myself, oh yeah, there's another one. Oh yeah, there's another one. But let me tell you, in the last month, he's found his voice. If he wants something, he lets everybody in the neighborhood know. See, that's what pastoring is tonight. There's newborn babes in the kingdom that have come in and decided to be a part of a church service tonight. And then there's people in here. Some of you guys feel like you're getting your PhD in Christianity tonight. Well, here you got all of this in the spectrum, and the idea of this now is this is all just about us developing. But let me tell you the good news, whether you're a babe in Christ or you're getting your PhD at this time, is at some point you get on this boat, and that boat's going down the channel. Man, it's navigating the waters, and other people are getting on that boat. And more people every day are getting on that boat. And then when that boat gets here, we're all in the same boat. See, that's who we are now. We're all in the same boat. The temptations and the things that you deal with, guess what? It's not just that I deal with it or that Pastor Sandy deals with it. Jesus dealt with it. He was tempted in like manner as us, yet knew no sin. So what is this? This is a work of faith. Write that down, a work of faith, a labor of love. You know what that means? It doesn't necessarily come naturally to us. It's not really second nature for us. But their work of faith is backed up by this labor of love. See, that's what backs up our faith. And then, listen, patience of hope. Man, you think about that. You think about when it's like, man, I just need patience. I just need patience. Would you do me a favor? Would you not pray for patience? Please don't. Because the Bible says that tribulation gives us patience. So if you're praying for patience, you're praying for a challenge. I don't need to be praying for a new challenge. Sandy, do you need a new challenge in your life? You know what? It's just going so easy. Life is so simple. Katie, life is so easy. Hey, Brad, my life, I need a challenge. I need something in my life. Let me just tell you, the pitch of my life is like this steep every single day. I'm not looking for a new challenge. I'm not saying, hey, God, give me a strong headwind as I'm climbing this hill. No, you know what? Man, I'm telling you, once you give your life to Jesus, your life is going to be the most challenging life on the planet. Because we are now, our citizenship's not of this world now. It's in heaven. Yet we're living in this world. We're in it, but not of it. See, we live by a different standard. We live by a different creed. We live by a different code. We are a different people. We are a royal priesthood now. See, that's who we are now. And the idea of this now is that we've got to look at it. There's patience of hope. That the idea, in order for you to have patience operative in your life, which is a fruit of the Spirit, you've got to be hope-filled. See, so it's not a patience deficit that you have. It's a hope deficit that you have. You just got to get that hope. And how do you get that hope up? You go back to 1 Corinthians 13:13, and you know what it says? Man, faith, hope, love. Man, what does hope follow? It follows faith. Does that make sense to you? Man, it's super simple. Verse 8 in 1 Corinthians 5, or 1 Thessalonians 5, but let us who are of the day be sober. You know, it's interesting that a few verses before that, it's like, look, the world's living in darkness. Did you know that? Huh? Did you guys know the world's living in darkness? And we're trying to show them something, but it's the dark. They can't read it. They can't see it. All they've done is hear it. And most people don't learn by hearing. Most people learn by hearing and seeing and doing. That's how they learn. See, but the idea now is that most of education for generations has been, we just got to teach them. They've got to hear it. They've got to hear it. And then people miss it. See, so what we've got to do now, that's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It comes by us hearing it, and then it comes by, and it's built, listen, by us hearing ourselves speak it. That's what we're hearing. It's not just a redundant verse there. But see, we go back to this now, and we understand that, man, we've got to be able to see it, but the world's living in darkness. And you know what? It even refers to most of them are walking around drunk. You don't get drunk in the daylight. You get drunk at night is what Paul writes here in the preceding verses. He said most of the world's living in darkness, and they're drunk in that darkness. And then it goes to this, but let us who are of the day, man, that we can see that things are clear in your life. How many of you guys know that God's a good God? Can you wave your hands to me? Man, how many of you guys know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundant? That every good and perfect gift comes from above. God's not going to put sickness on you. Man, you might have had an aunt and uncle that went to church all their lives and they're telling you, listen, man, God's giving you that sickness or that disease to teach you something. Let me tell you, that's an interesting attitude and opinion to have, none of which can be backed up in God's word. None of which. So if you're here thinking, well, but God put that sickness on my relative or even on my life, let me just help you. God didn't do it, because there's nowhere in the word says that God does that. You know what God's going to do? God's going to give better gifts to his children than any of the great dads on the planet could ever give. Man, any gift that you can get from a man pales in comparison to the gifts God gives us. Yeah, you're going through things, part of which may be because we're just subject to gravity. We live in this world, but we can't live of this world. Man, a sickness or a disease or a calamity or a tragic event or a loss of a loved one, that doesn't define who we are. Can I help you define your life? You define it by God's promise. You don't define it by what happens to you. You don't define it by your experience, your education, your upbringing. Your upbringing defines you? Really? No way. I don't want those limits on my life. Man, you guys pray, God, give me some limits. God, I need a lower lid in my life. No, none of us want that. None of us are going into 2019 thinking, you know what? I want to get fatter this year. None of us are saying, I want to go into 2019. You know what? I want to make a lot less money this year. I'm tired of making good money. I want to make bad money. I want to have a poor income this year. Nobody's saying that. See, so why would we think God's going to do anything but bless us? Let me tell you what a blessing is in your life. And it's what God does. It lifts our lives. Everything about our lives. And what I believe is it lifts the water level in our lives. So everything in our life is lifted. Man, if your fitness and your health and your finances are going to be lifted, your marriage and your relationships and your kids are going to be lifted as well, because everything in your life lifts. See, but what we do is we buy into the goofy stuff from people that say, well, I've got faith for finances. I just don't have faith for health. Do you think those are two different faiths? It's a real question. Do you think those are two different faiths? They're not. God gives us a lump sum. He gives us a measure of faith. And let me just tell you something. You get around the right people that are operating and strengthened in life by that measure of faith that God's given them as believers, man, let me tell you what it's going to do. It's going to build your faith. And I believe that. Bad company corrupts good morals. Man, the world's going to say that you're the sum of the five closest relationships in your life. Man, just today, I saw Sandy this afternoon, and Sandy said, hey, Bill, you been in the Word? I'm like, yeah, I preached tonight. Man, if I'm not in the Word, I got nothing for you. I'm not that funny. I'm not that witty. My stories are old. All I've got's God's Word. But she's asking me, why? Because I'm one of the most important people in her life, and she's got to make sure I'm in the dadgum Word. Because we can get busy. Is it just me, or do you guys not get busy, and sometimes it's like, man, I don't even think I was in the Word today. Man, we've got to get in the Word. That's why for me, I've got to do it the very first thing. The very first thing, I've got to get in the Word. The very first thing. And you know what happened today? I got in the Word. You know what? The Lord started ministering to me about faith, hope, and love. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I'm preaching that tonight, God. Did you already see my notes? But God started ministering to me about faith, hope, and love, about the order of that in my life, because I'm a faith guy. Anybody else faith people in here? Man, I'm a faith guy, but let me tell you, it doesn't stop there. The progression of our lives. See, we're always looking for a process. What's the process? I'm in process. How's your marriage? We're in a process. Well, let me tell you, I don't want to be in a dadgum process. I want to be in a progress. But there's got to be a progression that makes up my process so that I'm progressing. And what's the progression? It's faith, hope, and love. And see, and what's interesting is that when we look at this, when we look at, but let each one who are in the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of love, now listen, of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Isn't that interesting? He kind of defines the breastplate and he defines the helmet of the armor of God. And does it anywhere else. But right here, he says, listen, man, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of hope. Wow. So now, who I am in Christ, that's faith and love. That's what that breastplate makes up. But the helmet, the way I think, the way I make decisions, my emotions, man, you know what that helmet is? That helmet's hope. Hope of salvation, hope of deliverance, hope of freedom, hope of being made whole. See, the way this boils down, listen, it's, and you might want to take a picture of this or write this down in your notes. Faithful work, loving labor, and hopeful patience. That's what makes up a strong life. That's what makes up a strong marriage. That's what makes up relationships that cause your life to lift. Man, we don't want to be those people that our lives are sinking. There's only one way your life will sink, is if it's built on sand. If your life's built on bedrock, it will not sink. And see, what we've got to do is we've got to excavate the ruins of our lives and get to that bedrock and build a foundation upon that bedrock. You want 2019 to be a year of incredible opportunity? You got to be prepared for that opportunity. I'll tell you what, you're going to see so much opportunity this year, it's going to be crazy. And you know what? Just driving by it and seeing it, taking a tour of opportunity, I don't believe that's God's will in your life. I believe it's for you to seize that opportunity, to take that opportunity, to be prepared for that opportunity. Faithful work, loving labor, and hopeful patience. The gospel, and Paul writes here, the gospel has to be preached in this. Now listen, in the word, in power. For our gospel didn't come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel should be preached in word. Okay, that's what we're doing tonight. In power. Listen, let that settle for a second. It's got to be preached in power. And it's not just changing the inflection of your voice or putting some force in your words. No, you know, let me tell you, I guarantee you, Sandy knows when I'm in faith. Because I'm not just quoting the word. No, you know what? It comes from a place of power. In word, in power, listen to this, in the Holy Spirit. And we preach the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, there's been so many times I should have recorded every time this happened, because it could be a book. I could write a devotional every single day of the year on things that people heard in services that I never said. Man, I'll see people at the door, and I'll see people out on the front porch, and they'll say, "Oh, that message changed my life," and I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome. That's so gracious. Thank you for saying that." And they'll say, "Oh my gosh, it was so powerful. And when you said," and then they'll say what they heard me say, I'll be thinking, "Man, that's really good. I wish I would have said that." Why? Because we preach the gospel in the Holy Spirit. See, so God's dealing with things in your life now just because the word's being preached. So in word, in power, in the Holy Spirit, and the last one's huge, in full assurance. In full assurance. You know, what the old timers will say is, they'll say, "Man, you got to know that you know that you know." It isn't something I just know. No, I know that I know that I know. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I know that I know that that I know. Man, the we've got to be relentless with this. We've got to be consistent, meaning there's got to be a repetition of it in our lives. And we've got to be grateful for it. And you know what that brings? That brings the gospel comes to us in full assurance. It's like, wow. I remember so many times the first few months that I was a Christian. You know, this stuff's real. Did you know that? I tell people that. I'd say, well, wait a minute. No, I know that you're acting like you get it, but this is stunning for me. Man, when you know what you call that? You call that revelation. When I had revelation of God as the healer, I thought, oh my gosh. I mean, it stunned me. It swept me off my feet. When God's my deliverer, when I realized that I'd spent 5 years where there was only a couple weeks that I wouldn't accumulatively over 5 years before I became a Christian that I wasn't chemically altered, and then I just walked away from it. I didn't give it a thought. Not, you know, the expression is, I didn't give that a second thought. I didn't give it a thought. I just realized after I'd been a Christian for a week or so, it's like, wait a minute. I haven't drank or done any drugs in a week. I mean, it's like, what the heck? I haven't even thought about it. I haven't even wanted to. Man, if you have cravings in your life, you deal with cravings, man, you've got to receive the gospel. Listen, in word, in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in full assurance. Man, when you're eating or anything, even your, man, what if your workouts, if that's emotional for you? Anything in your life that starts making a grip in your life? Man, it might be television, it might be, let's make this real. Social media. Man, would social media has a grip in your heart and a grip in your life? And it affects whether your life's going up or your life's going down or what's happening? Let me just tell you. You've got to, what the gospel will do is it'll break that. Why? Because it comes in word and power and the Holy Spirit and in full assurance. Because the bottom line with this, it's like blind Bartimaeus when he gets to Jesus, obviously blind, obviously. And he walks up to Jesus. He'd already caused commotion. He interrupted the whole deal. They tried to get him to shut up and he just yelled all the more. Got louder and louder. And finally, Jesus said, let him come to me. That's happened in these services. There have been times where there was a guy back in the old building, and it doesn't happen very often, thank goodness. But this guy got up, and he starts yelling at me, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. And our security guys, we didn't have security then, but some guys jumped in, and they grabbed him, and made him yell louder. I'm like, well, just let him come here. And I stepped down off the stage, and he walked up to me, and we're nose to nose, and we're looking at each other, and he is upset. And I'm thinking, hey, I get it. I say things that are upsetting to people sometimes. Man, these are back in the good old days when, man, guys would come into the service wanting to whip me because their girlfriend got saved and their relationship changed. But he walked up, and we're standing nose to nose, and he's mad. I said, what? Whoa, just calm down. I'm listening. What do you need? He goes, I got a problem with you. I'm like, I get it. He goes, no, I got a problem. You don't preach from the King James Bible. I'm like, for real? That's what you're mad about? He said, yeah. I said, I don't want to have to preach it and then translate it at the same time. I'm gonna preach it in a more modern language, modern translation, so that people can get it. And you know what he said? Okay. And he went and sat down. So I've been in those kind of situations where Jesus finally said, I can't shout over this guy. And so he let him come to him and he said, what do you need? Jesus said, what can I do for you? He said, that I might see. I believe Jesus is saying every time we come together, every time that you're in fellowship with Jesus, it's the same question. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? I remember thinking, I'm a rookie pastor. I don't have the skills of all these guys that, see, there wasn't church planting back then. This was like Hall of Fame pastoring in this area. But you know what? Man, the people that we were wanting to reach, there wasn't a vision for those people. It was teenagers. It was people that didn't like church. Man, let's see if we can reach people that don't like church. So I thought, man, I don't want these guys to continually lap me and my peers. So God just put it in my heart. Everybody I ran into, it's like, man, what can I do for you? Hey, how about $1 million? Yeah, really, what can I do for you though? See, that touches people's hearts. And Jesus used that. People's hearts were hurt. The world had stepped right in the middle of their heart. And they're bruised and they're torn. And he just says, hey, what can I do for you? Man, Bartimaeus could have said, man, I got no lunch. And Jesus would have provided him lunch. He provided it for 5,000 people. You know that, right? He could have provided it for one blind dude. Man, what can I do for you? Why? Because this is a work of faith and a labor of love. Hopeful patience. Man, how can you be patient, man? Because I'm hopeful. That's what the world needs. That's what the Word provides. What the Word provides is our faith is inflated and it puts us in that hopeful place. Man, I'm hopeful. So now what? Now I can live my life with that labor of love. Why? Because people are frustrating. Man, it's like we're trying to save somebody from drowning and they don't latch on. They don't try to help, man. They'll try to hit you and kick you and headbutt you and like, I'm just trying to help. And we can't get upset with that. It's a work of faith. It's a labor of love. It's a hopeful patience. What can I do for you? That's what Jesus is saying right now. I believe there's an anointing here tonight. I believe Jesus would say, what can I do for you? I don't think anybody in here would say, man, I need a few $100. I need my electricity bill paid. It's like, No, Jesus, let me just tell you, underneath this tough exterior, man, I got this wound in my heart. Keeps everything I try to do with my heart, it all leaks out. Man, I'm lonely. I'm alone. I got people all around me all the time, but I'm lonely. I'm hurt. I've been misused. I've been abused. I've been neglected. I've been skipped over. God, I want to honor you, but I'm hurt. God, I want all you that I can get, but I got no capacity to hold it. Man, all Bartimaeus, he just said, man, that I might see. I don't even know what that means. I've never done it. I've never experienced it. What if you're here tonight and you've never experienced God's peace? Man, the kind of peace that, man, it brings your emotions into check and you're like, wait a second. This peace acts as an umpire in my life now. It rules and reigns. It guards my heart, this peace. Man, my bank account might not reflect it, but I'm prosperous. Because the Bible says everything I put my hand to prospers. See, but listen, that prosperity that God gives us, it comes with a peace. You don't have to worry about making it. Am I going to make it? What, are you kidding me? Are we going to make it? Man, 19 years ago, we were preparing to move into this building, into this property. The constant thought I probably had about every 5 minutes, every day of the week, no matter what day it was, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Oh my gosh, this, we went from paying $500 a month to $1,500 a month to $25,000 a month. Are we going to make it? Man, we had people that didn't make the move, didn't, there's no turns. You just drive down 41st Street and kind of veer right a little bit when you get to the service road and you're here, but didn't make the move. People in the community saw it differently. We went from being guts in that old worn out warehouse to, man, the church on the expressway. I'm thinking, look, we just traded for some more old worn out warehouses. That's where we are today. But see, you understand that I went from the constant thought being, are we going to make it, to sitting in a service with people that a slate comes up on the screen that says $2.1 million was given to evangelism, outreach, and missions, and we go like this. I'm not Jenny from the block, but I'm still just Bill. I say, what? Wow. I go to the business office, say, how'd you come up with this number? Where did all that money come from? Do you understand how God flips things, though? We went from me thinking, how are we going to do it, to what? Wow.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.